أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، I greet you first for the reading of Islam. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is my second time coming here, actually third time in the fundraising dinner. And I want to share something subhanAllah beautiful about this community, and it's the dedication, the devotion. First time I came about more than a year ago for that Eid party we had. Second time I came where we are at that Route 35, I think. 31. Route 31 at that hall, that was the fundraising dinner. And this is the third time. But every time I come here, I see the hustle and bustle in the eyes, the fervor, the zeal in the faces of people. Even if the hall is half full, like they said, you can look at the glass either half full or half what? Empty. Muslims are people who are always optimistic, positive. They always look at the glass half full. And mashallah, the leadership of Brother Yasser, Brother Tahir, and the others that are there, I'm pretty sure, inshallah, that time is not far when Huntington County will have a masjid, inshallah. Say inshallah. Because there is another community which I got involved almost 5 years ago, and today they are on the brink of signing a deal for a big warehouse. They were once upon a time just like you. Back before 9/11, back in 1999-2000, they used to pray Juma in a gas station. If you know, some of you may know, some of you are here from there. We're talking about Morris County. Now you might think Morris County is big and huge. Where is it? It's on the western part of New Jersey, on Route 80. And at first grade football there many, many years ago, there were probably 40-50 people. Pretty small. Almost like this small. And people were kind of demoralized. You know, are we ever going to see a masjid? But you know what? Today they have a musalla already on Route 46 in Bud Lake, and now they're buying a 15,000 square foot of warehouse that's going to be the Islamic center of Morris County in Rockaway. So inshallah, we should keep our hopes high. The topic that I've been given today has to deal with this whole topic that why we're assembled over here. Our identity, Islamic identity versus assimilation. You see, brothers and sisters, when we came here back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, and then the 2010 and onwards decades, people are still coming. They're not going to stop. Every generation that has come over here, first thing they have rushed to do is what? Preserve identity. Whether it was the Irish, the German, the Dutch, the French, the British, whoever it was, first thing, the Italian, everyone wanted to have their identity. You go to many neighborhoods, you know this in America, you've been here for so many years, every major city in America has what? I didn't even have to say that. What does Chinatown, that word, signify, resonate in the mind? Oh, Chinese stores. Thanks to that, we have little India towns, or Pakistani towns, or Desi towns, or Arab towns. You go to Pakistan, mashallah, you won't remember anything except Palestine, Egypt, Syria. You go to Jewish City, you won't remember anything except the Pharaoh. There are a lot of Coptics over there too. You go to Oak Tree Road, you know what I mean, what happens on Oak Tree Road. But, you know, tens and tens of years ago, did they exist? No. What does the Quran tell us about preserving our identity? When we think of that, the first surah that comes to our mind is what? Which story talks to us about preserving identity in the Quran? Tell me. Give it a wild shot. I guess. Anybody? Nobody? No volunteers today? We're just too hungry. Let's get over it. Let's get to the food. Give it a shot. There's so many surahs in the Quran. Give me a shot. Give me any surah. Yassin? No. Anyone? I give you an idea. It's right in the middle of the Quran. What's in the middle of the Quran? Kahf, the cave. Ashabul Kahf. What's the whole moral of Ashabul Kahf, the people of the cave? Allah tells us, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. أول شيء وأهم شيء إنهم فتية. They were a small fitya. And fitya is the jama' plural of the mufrad word in Arabic, fata. Young men. That's why last time I came here when we were in that hall on Route 31, Brother Yasser had one of the youth speak over there, I remember. And the young men, the shabab, they were talking about their activities. I missed that today, but at least he informed us that the people who are most active in the community are Ashabul Kahf of Hunterdon County. Yes, you have the Ashabul Kahf, the young men who are making to the Fajr. You have Brother Chris, new addition into the whole family of Islam in the Fajr. Ashabul Kahf. Because what were the Ashabul Kahf worrying about? Their deen, their identity. The Pharaoh, the tyrant that was there in that village area, he was oppressing them, violent, oppressing them, restriction, qiyud, not letting them allow to practice their religion freely. Freedom of religion was not there. And because they felt this restriction, limitation, they looked towards the Sama, to Allah. They're looking for inspiration. Allah inspired this young man, this Shabab, this youth. The young men, the youth, Allah inspired them, فَآلُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ لِرَبِّكُمْ. Allah tells them, come towards the cave, and Allah will give you an opening. Since when did caves become opening, my dear sisters and brothers? When you think of a cave, if you are a little bit geologist or geographic, if you know how mountains are, how caves are what? Narrow paths within the mountain. Caves are always converging, not diverging. But subhanAllah, Allah has His own wisdom, hikmah. He's telling, come to the cave, you will find the opening to practice your religion. Little did they know that they're climbing up the mountain to go to the cave. Little did they know that they're going there to sleep for how many years? 1,000 years, somebody said. 300, and add another 9 years for the lunar calendar. I leave you with a question for now to be answered at the end of my presentation. In 309 years, how many generations of a human race is comprised of? Don't answer now. Keep thinking. Keep thinking. How many generations of a whole family or race or people? We can say that Muslims in this country have been coming, the indigenous Muslims who came as slaves from Africa and then they were freed, they were indigenous Muslims, that is some generations. The other generations, maybe we have the third and fourth generations, in terms of who and where and from which place did they come. The Muslims who came from Egypt, or Syria, or Lebanon, or Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, or the Gulf states, wherever they came from, it depends how many generations have they moved forward. If they came in the 20s here, maybe we're talking about their third generation or fourth for now. But in 309 years, how many generations have passed? And Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. First condition, أَوَّلُ شَرْطٍ, for the preservation of identity. What is identity? Something you are known by. How you want yourself to be known. And Allah is saying that they believe in Allah, آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. And because of their belief as a reward, زِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى الزِّيَادَ مَزِيد. Increase. Allah increased them in huda, in guidance. Today you ask any Muslim, what is the number one thing you're looking for? Provided they know the right way to answer, they'll say, hidayah, guidance. Some might say, I'm looking for money, I'm looking for wife, I'm looking for a job, I'm looking for something else. But if the proper perception is there, everyone is in need of hidayah. And Allah is saying, have iman, have taqwa, have the preservation of your identity, and Allah will give you hidayah. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. And remember that identity crisis comes to people who are always under what? Stress, duress, turmoil, tragedy, test, imtihan. Allah put these people, this fitya, Allah put them in the imtihan. Allah put them in a very, very huge examination. They had two choices. Choose one of the two. Either they assimilate, dissolve themselves into the religion of Pharaoh or the custom, tradition, style of Pharaoh at that time, the Pharaoh that was there, the tyrant, the king, or they would say no to the Pharaoh and yes to Allah. So that's why Allah inspired them, say come. And when we preserve our identity, our Iman, our Islam, our values, Allah gives us karama. Because remember, these Ashab al-Kahf were not prophets. The mu'jizat, miracles, are only for the Anbiya wa Rasul, the prophets of Allah. Amma nas al-Adi, we have karama. Somebody can be a wali of Allah. Some woman can be a wali of Allah. He or she can be a very close friend of Allah, can be very muttaqi, close from the muslim. Wali is someone that is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who are awliya of Allah, Allah gives them karama. We can deduce from that, Ashab al-Kahf were the awliya of Allah. Hence Allah brought them to the cave, the Kahf, and gave them not a mu'jiza, but gave them a karama, deep sleep. You read the, I don't have time to go in detail, but you read the ayat in Surah Kahf, Allah tells us how strange and amazing this karama was from the Allah for these people. They went in there and they slept. And when they slept for 3 and 9 years, they didn't get old, they didn't get white hair, white beard, white eyebrows. They didn't have their skin dropping down 5 inches. As you age, you know how it happens. An 80, 90-year-old person today, you can just tell, this person is very old. 309 years, and when they wake up, they are still the same age as they slept. وَلَا يَزِيدُ عُمْرُهُمْ فَوْقَ الْإِثْمَنْتَاشِ. They're not above 18 or 19. They're below that. Because they're shabab, they're fata, fitri. So when they wake up, one of them says, how much will you sleep? Maybe a day or half a day. يَوْمًا وَبَعْضَ يَوْمًا. Imagine, 309 years of sleep. And while they're sleeping, Allah is giving them karama. Unusual things, benefits, barakah. That when the sun comes up from the east, the cave has an opening. They're sleeping right there in the opening, the front. When the sun comes up, it will shine on their faces, on their body, heat. They might get wet, they might get woken up by the disturbance of sun. Today, if you want to sleep in the daytime, those of us who work night shifts, we work in the night. When you come home at 6, 7 in the morning, you want to sleep. You've been working all night, so you want to put on the curtains. You can't sleep with the curtains open, with the sunlight coming in your room. You want to make it as dark as possible. Look at the karama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah acts, Allah ordered the sun, ajbara al-shams, that when you come, move. Was the shams of tazawara, it moved from its orbit so that the rays of the sun don't come. And when it's setting in the evening, again the rays are coming to the cave. Again it's ordered by Allah to move slightly on the side so that these people who are the awliya of Allah, their sleep is not disturbed. What's the meaning of all this? That Allah rewards tremendously for those who have a desire to preserve and protect and safeguard their identity. But those who wish not to, Allah cares less about them, because they care not about their deen. And that's why they assimilate. Assimilation means what? I lose my identity. I'll give you an example. I've been here in this country for 18 years. Many of you may be more than that. Many times you drive, you won't getting thirsty. Let me stop at Wawa store. Let me stop at a 7-Eleven store, at a high store, a gas station. I go in there, buy some chips, buy some water or Gatorade juice, come to the register. This is something good in America, customer service. Hi, how you doing, sir? That's fine. See the name tag? Sam. Oh, how you doing, Sam? But if I'm wearing this dress, guess what Sam tells me? Assalamu alaikum. First thing I'm like, I take 10 steps back. Sam? Maybe he's a new Muslim. What's your name, brother? Oh, my name is Samih. Samih Abbas. Really? What happened? No, I don't like people calling me Samih. And plus it's an Arabic name, it's a Muslim. It's so hard on the tongue, you know. So I really feel shy to be called in the public Samih. or some man or something, it's easier said. Other instances, you go to cash a check at the teller, in the bank, the Bank of America, Wachovia, wherever you are, you present, you see, Terry. Oh, how you doing, Terry? But Terry, unfortunately, sees me in this garb. Salaam alaikum. Again, 10 steps back. Terry, salaam alaikum. When did you accept Islam? No, I'm a Muslim by birth. So what is your name, brother? My name is Tariq. Tariq Rahman. But call me Terry, Raymond. Terry and Raymond. Rahman became Raymond. I'm not saying this in a derogatory way. Don't take me wrong. I'm not criticizing these people. But I'm giving you examples of people who feel shy to produce what? Their identity. I don't feel shy walking like this in a bank or walking like this in a store. But of course, some people might argue with post-9/11 era, you gotta be careful, brother. We have to have hikmah. I don't disagree with that. You're right. We have to have hikmah. But the thing is, the name is the first sign of your identity. If my name is Jawad, and if I ask you to call me Jay, am I insulting my name? Of course. Am I shy about my identity? Of course. Because why should I twist my name? Because some people came from Czechoslovakia. Their names are Kiskowski. If you show them their name, Mr. Cole, they get angry. Excuse me, mister. How dare you twist my name? It's so hard on my tongue, Kiskowski. How should I? No. Make sure you pronounce my name right. So what happened to the Muslims? Why do we feel shy to change the name? Ever since 9/11, we've been under a lot of stress. Identity crisis. Should I expose my identity? Should I hide? Should I assimilate? And I don't even look for my attire, for my appearance. I don't even look like a Muslim. Nobody can tell me. So thanks to that, I can go to JFK or Newark or LaGuardia, just pass by, and nobody's going to stop me. Sorry, you're fooling yourself. Anybody stops. Changing or assimilating your identity would not pass you by unless you have that clear pass. This is another way of earning money. Just pay hundreds of dollars, get a clear pass, and just go there, put a card. You don't have to go through that line. Nobody's going to check you. Now talk about capitalism and how to make money in the time of need. Allah says in Surah Al-Kabut something about fear. Allah tells us, tries to make us realize a concept. Alif Lam Mim. أحسب الناس حسب احتساب. Do people think, anticipate? People have apprehensions. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. عجيب كلام عجيب. Allah هنا خطاب الله. Allah is addressing us directly. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا. What people thought? This is act. This is known as in Arabic language, alif al-istifham, the element of question. Allah is asking a rhetorical question. Ahasib al-nas, do people think or anticipate that they will be left alone just because they said, amanna, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna rasulullah. I don't want to scare Brother Chris here because he's a newcomer in the family. He said the shahada, I'm sure. But this is what Allah is saying. Allah is saying, you say the shahada, and you think you're going to be left alone? وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ الْفِتَنُ. You know what fitr means? Trials, tribulation, tests, examination. Allah is saying that you say shahada, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and you'll be left alone? You want to go through some tests and trials and tribulations? You want to go through some hardship and obstacles and hurdles? Of course! Because Allah says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ قَبْلَهُمْ. We have tested the people who came before you, Ya Ummat al-Islam. People who came before us were tested. They had to prove their shahada. This is not lip service. This is not just saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Rasulullah. But this is proving. And how do you prove? Identity. Your identity. Not feeling proud about it, but feeling happy about it. I'm happy to be a Muslim. Like that kid ad, you know, the Council of American Islamic Relations down in Washington, D.C. They came out with an ad in 2004 that I'm a Muslim. And they have the fireman as a Muslim coming on the ad, the policeman as a Muslim coming on the ad, the nurse, the doctor, the businessman, everyone on that ad. And it was a public service ad. And CARE put it up on it saying, I'm a Muslim and I'm happy about it. Let the media say what they want to say. Let the people who want to say what they want to say. But I'm no terrorist. I'm no barbaric person. I'm no one who loves violence and looks for blood-savvy things. I'm a person who only believes in Allah. So how dare somebody accuse me of being aggressive, being blood-savvy, being someone who would put the lives of people, innocent people, in turmoil? Because the one who thinks that is the one who changes their identity. The one who thinks that feels feared. I don't want to be called a Muslim. Let me just be a Muslim by the name. And then changes and assimilates and dissolves themselves into that aspect. And that is what Allah SWT is saying in the Quran, in another ayah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. There are some people from amongst human beings who worship Allah on a harf, which means an edge, like a cliff. That if some khayr comes to them, they are fine. When a sabato shark, if some shark comes to this person on the edge of a cliff, like you have these tables, imagine a glass is where at the edge of the table, half about to fall, half on the table. If I blow from it, the glass will fall. There are some Muslims who are worshiping Allah on the edge of a cliff, edge of a big, big canyon. The moment some shark comes, they immediately retract. Oh, may I not be Muslim? I'm not a Muslim. Don't worry about it. My parents were Muslim. On the day of 12th September 2001, many of these people fell in the cliff. Not in downtown Manhattan, but in New Jersey, in Arizona, in California, in Florida, in Chicago, you name it, they were there, falling off the cliff. Because what was the day, 12th September 2001? We all know. People became harassed, panicked. If somebody harasses me in this attire, I have no problem. It is their problem why they're harassing me. This dress, does it mean that I'm going to blow somebody? No. This dress is a sign of peace. It's minan, sukun. This dress, or this attire, this kalam, this talk, learn the rules of engagement, brothers and sisters. I've been attached with the school for the last 7 years here. This is why I tell the youth, let's not be shy about Islam. Let's not be scared about Islam. Let's be proud about Islam. Let's stand with firmness and stability, hold the mic and talk with eye to eye. I'm a Muslim and I'm happy to be Muslim. You have a problem? Let's sit down and talk about it. Or a burger. No problem. People are only afraid because they don't know us. And people are afraid to change their identity because they don't know who. Allah. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ أَلَفْ مَا أَمِينَ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يَفْتَنُونَ. And how does Allah strengthen people who preserve their identity? We see the concept of Ashab al-Kahf. Allah says, وَرَبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَالُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ. Allah is saying, why did I, the Allah, the Lord, strengthen these fitya, these shabab, these group of people? Allah is saying, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We tied a knot on their heart. Because the first place, when you're scared, the first place that gives you jitters is where? Not the head, not the skin, not a chill down the spine. First thing you hold is, oh, I'm really scared. How? Ask any doctor, if there's any doctor sitting here, what happens to your pulse rate? It's not bullets firing, by the way. This is your heart pumping blood. Because you are stressed out. You're scared. Remember the God of Iraq, Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, Ya Rasulullah, they can see your feet. مَا ذَنَّكَ بِسَحَبِي. Look at the calmness of Rasulullah. Ya Abu Bakr. مَا ذَنَّكَ. What do you think is going to be the fate of us two in the God? Allah. Allah ma'ana. We are not scared of these Quraysh standing outside. Forget about these asbab, the pigeons and the net. Forget this. This is asbab. أهم شيء هو القلب. الإيمان في القلب. Iman is in the heart. It resides in the heart. And the biggest thing is قلب. If the قلب becomes weak and sways, that's why the Arabs, the linguistics, you know, أهل اللغة, أهل اللسان, they said, سمي القلب إنما سمي القلب من تقلبه. Do you know that, brothers and sisters? Especially those who are Ajam or non-Arabs. The word قلب, قاف, لام, باء. إنما سمي القلب من تقلبه. إقلاب in Arabic means to turn, to sway. And Allah has named this heart in Arabic قلب. From the very nature of the heart, it sways, it turns. Your wife talks to you, oh, come on, can you do this and all that, fine. When you go outside, you met somebody and you totally forgot about it. Your goodness. People, they sometimes talk and convince somebody, yes, go ahead and make this decision. Then you go to somebody else and they convince you the other way. What is happening? Al-qalb, taqallub, swaying. That's why Allah is saying, وَرَبَّتْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We tied their heart so that they are firm, they are strong. They don't sway, they don't dwindle, they don't shake, they don't quiver, they don't have any hesitations. They are firm, yes, I'm a Muslim, and I'm happy to be Muslim. You have something to talk about? Let's sit down and talk about. But when does Allah strengthen the heart? لَمَّا يَكُونُ هُنَاكَ الْجُهَدْ مِنْ دَاخِلِ النَّفْسِ. When there's going to be an effort from the inside of the nafs, the soul. Because that's what Allah is saying. وَرَبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا. Kalimat al-iz in Arabic is when. You know, I'll do this when you finish the food. You know, I'll sit down when you show me the sign that my time is over. See? So when? هذا هو كلمة إذ. I'll give you the sign. If أقل منك الإشارة كافية there, right? For the smart person, a sign is enough. So I'm letting talk to them in sign language. At the same time, I'm continuing my presentation. So this Allah said, وَرَبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ. قَامُوا from قِيَامُ. They got up, they stood up in front. No, Pharaoh, you are not going to bulldoze us. You are not going to stop us from practicing Islam. قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ. It's Allah. Our Rabb is Allah. You have a problem? Let's take it outside. Not in a fighting mode. Peace. Peace, brother, peace. Let's talk about it. Let's chill out over it. So they move to the... Another example is Umm Musa. Mother of Musa is there. What does Allah say about that? When he was born, Allah inspired her. Umm Musa, put your son in the tabut, in the sunduq. And then do what? Oh, put it in the river. Faltihi fil yam. Let it go in the river. There are many sisters, mashallah, many of them may be mothers. Ask any mother over here. How would you feel when your son, your newborn son, is separated from you and you're seen with your eyes? How would you feel, sister? Would you feel happy? Raise your hand if you feel happy. How so? Allah says the same exact thing. Hub of the mother, hub al-um, for the child, for the tif, is shadeed. So look what Allah says in Surah Qasas, Surah 28. وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي لَوْلَا رَبَطْنَا قَلْبَهَا. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. أَصْبَحَ, it became. This is an Arabic language word. It becomes something. أَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ. فُؤَاد is another name for قَلْب. Arabic language is amazing. Brothers and sisters, get to learn Arabic language. I would recommend in that center you have Arabic classes. Along with the Sira classes, everything, you should have Arabic classes. Arabic language. I'm not an Arab, I'm an Ajam. I'm a Pakistani by decent. But I went to the university, went to the, learned from the Shuyukh, learned from the Asas of Arabic, because Arabic is life. Arabic is the future. Arabic is Quran. Arabic is Akhirah. Arabic is to get to know Allah. So Allah says in the Quran in Arabic, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. Farigh, meaning empty, hollow, vacuum. As soon as the child is going in the river, oh my God, my son, in كَانَتْ لَتُبْدِي, she was about to say, my son, لَوْلَا أَنْ رَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Allah says, had we not tied her heart, the heart of the mother of Musa al-Islam, she would have exposed the secret. And people would know, Pharaoh would know, oh, that's the Musa. That's the guy that's going to destroy my kingdom. Let that box be burned. But Allah is saying, رَبَّتْنَا لَوْلَا لَوْلَا رَبَّتْنَا لَقَلْتِهَا. Had we as Allah not covered the heart of Musa's son's mother, she would have certainly exposed the secret, because she's a mother. She loves the child. And in the fervor of inspiration, she let the child go. But as soon as she's seen, it hurts. So this is what Allah does to us in times of hardship. This is a message. The reason this topic was chosen is we are living in a post 9/11 era. Forget about it, we're living in USA. Muslims all over the world today are living in a kind of fear. Because the concept is that there's war and terror and Islam is being harassed and there is this and that. But remember, brothers and sisters, there's not something to sway us. There's not something to derail us. There's something to strengthen us. The need of the hour is to preserve the identity. The need of the time is to be more stronger in Iman, to be more as Sadat, al-istiqamah, to be more positive, to be more stable and firm in the path of Allah, not to get scared and shied away and start changing our identity in such a way that we look no different from anyone else. Why is it that we preserve the language? Why is it that we preserve the culture? Why is it that they call themselves in Chinatown, Chinatown? Why is it that the Latinos are preserving their language, preserving their heritage, and they have television Uno? Uno television. Muslims have yet to have a television in the mainstream. Yeah, there's British TV, there's that. But I'm saying, look, learn from people around us. Learn from other nationalities. Learn from other places. And I'm finishing very much. You don't need to come, inshallah. We're finishing off by one small example. I'm going to save you the gas that you would take to come all the way here. Alright. These other people preserve their identity. I want to leave you with this example. How many of us like to drink Kool-Aid? You know, kids, they drink Kool-Aid a lot. You know what Kool-Aid is, right? Who likes to drink Kool-Aid? I love it a lot. My kids love it a lot. We always bring those sachets, the small packets, you know, instant. Kool-Aid comes in how many colors? 5. I would say 6 or 7. There are many colors. Orange and berry and strawberry and this. It has color. Have you ever seen a white Kool-Aid, transparent Kool-Aid color? I have yet to see one. Maybe we should write to the company. They should. Kool-Aid comes in colors. If I were to bring here, I wish they had a provider. But I could bring you here and just imagine, visually. Imagine here. There's 2 glasses in front of me with a water. Transparent glasses. In one glass, I put Kool-Aid pack and I start stirring up. Kool-Aid, right? I'm putting Kool-Aid. And let's say it's red color Kool-Aid. What color is the water going to be now? Somebody said orange? Red. No. Red. I told you it's red color. Now I tell brother, yes sir, give me a spoon of sugar and a glass of water. Just then. And I put the sugar in the water. And I stir. What color is this glass going to be? White or clear, right? And I say, bring this, brother. Yeah, I say, bring this, brother Tanner. He tastes very tasty. Red Kool-Aid, sweet. Is it sweet? Yes. And I say, brother, yes, is it sweet? Of course, because I put sugar, not salt. Say sweet. End result, end product for both is what? Sweet. Life is sweet. And Jannah is sweet also. Halalatul Iman. Look at the word Allah used, Rasulullah used in the hadith. Halalatul Iman. Sweetness of Iman. End result, sweet. But the color is different. He got the white glass, he got the red glass. Which one is the identity, which one is assimilation? All those who say that the glass that was red is identity, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. I guess I didn't explain, but I'm not a good teacher. I gotta do something. I'm not a good teacher. All those who think that the identity glass is the one with the red color glass, Kool-Aid, raise your hand. 3, 4, 5. Still, I'm not a good teacher. Or maybe some people are just hesitant. All those who think it's assimilation, the glass that was white, just sugar in it, raise your hand. You get the point I'm trying to make, brothers and sisters? That water in both the glass is your environment. America. Companionship. Sohba. Environment. That's water. We're living in this environment. Who you are, what you believe in, is the color code. Kool-Aid was red. It maintained its identity in the water. Sugar was white crystals. It dissolved. So the question I leave you with is, are you sugar or are you Kool-Aid? You decide. Wa akhiru da'wana.